you guys have played together for over a decade now?
We are on the 26th of January. It'll be our 15-year anniversary from our first gig.
Oh my gosh, exciting. How has your sound kind of evolved since then? What's the process been like?
Oh my God, since then?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, in then we were trying to sound like bands, like the whole disparate, like, bunch of bands. So we sounded like, I don't even know. Like it was weird, like lots of punk stuff, lots of post-punk influences, Joy Division, like TV on the Radio, The Walkman. And there was just this weird thing where like none of that was our identity, but it was just what we listened to at that time. And then gradually it kind of grew and we understood that like we were better at writing, and what we were kind of felt more us was the kind of heavier stuff, I guess, and the more kind of post-punky, punky, whatever we want to call it, stuff that then eventually became Brutalism. And then slowly over time, that kind of reached its zenith with Ultramano. And then now we've kind of brought in the other elements of what we listen to in the Idols, and it's kind of become this other thing because we've been afforded an opportunity to experiment and to push the boundaries of what the band Idols means. So now it's like lots of that stuff, and you know, synths and random like things, and exploring sound through production and making that heavy music, but not just by thrashing, but by making synths make all those noises and making guitars make noises that sound like synths, and so on and so forth.
Which is so clear in Tank. The lead single was with LCD Sound System. What was it like working with them?
It was cool. I mean, it was like, it was completely accidental. We were touring with them in America. We were supporting them on this like festival run, and they're just like amazing people, complete heroes of ours. And we'd written Dancer, we'd recorded it already. LCD Sound System were literally the reference for the chorus, and Lee and I were singing it. And then Nigel called us up and was like, "This sounds terrible. You guys can't sing. Why do you think you should sing? Do you think you should sing?" And then we were like, "Well, we're with the people we've referenced, so we just asked them if they'd do it." And they did, I think, to great effect.
I was very surprised by it as well. Like, having listened to you since Brutalism, when I saw, like, before I listened to it and I just saw it was like Idols and LCD Sound System, I was like, "Whoa, what?" But it's awesome.
It's funny because it's like it comes back to that thing of like references. So like LCD Sound System have like always been a reference for this band whenever we were together. And it's like, I guess it's not instantly apparent when you listen to stuff, but like if you listen to like a track like White Privilege on Brutalism, that is an attempt at an LCD kind of, like, you know, that kind of like dance punk kind of type thing, but it's just way heavier than what LCD would do, you know. It's like way more, I don't know, more obnoxious than, I guess, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, but to, that's us trying to do it, and it just ends up sounding like us because otherwise it sounds too much like LCD Sound System. It's not that we're some like geniuses, but it's just like that is how we sound like LCD Sound System without sounding too much like LCD Sound System.
Yeah, totally.
That might not make sense, but that's kind of, that's how it feels.
And then, well, you just mentioned White Privilege. A lot of your songs are very political, which of course is, you know, a mainstay in punk. What would your advice be for people that are wanting to create music and kind of navigate the political climate at the time through music?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I guess you have to understand that it is a very difficult landscape to negotiate. And there are huge, steep learning curves. And you just got to be open and empathetic with it, I think. I think it's not about like ramming stuff down people's throats. And it's not about, I don't know how to describe this. But I guess it's kind of just about like try and just be true to yourselves. I think that like with any of our songs, like they represent who we are at that moment and what our principles are and what we would say defines us. So that's why on, you know, White Privilege, or you've got Samaritans, it deals with masculinity, or insert Idol song here. Like it's something that we'll be thinking about at that time. And maybe because it's prescient in the kind of the culture generally, or the news or whatever, or it'll be also just because it's just something that we want to talk about and something that we're dealing with at that time. So rather than seeking it out, it's more just we just write stuff that is central to us and our identities and how we convey that into the world. I don't really know about giving advice to people, but that's something that I would say helps you remain sane in it, is by making sure that it's, you're just being true to yourself at that moment.
As well as that, you do talk a lot about mental health subtly, but you know, it's quite special to be able to have I've watched one of your other interviews and you said that you guys might seem aggressive. So it's interesting, yeah, to have, you know, like a scary man punk band, but they're talking about sensitivities and vulnerabilities and such. What's, yeah, that juxtaposition like to work with?
I think what it is that's just a realistic characterization of who we are. Like, I think that, like, I think we're far from the first people to do it. I think that it's always been the case within punk music and heavy music. There's always been like kind of people that are like us, that, you know, are sensitive souls and, you know, willing to bear stuff and be honest about stuff and question stuff and subvert stuff. It is, you know, primarily isn't that what kind of that this punk thing is about? It's about subversion and questioning kind of expectations or whatever. But like, I think that, like, what we talk about on, you know, like Samaritans, really what we're dealing with is like the concept of like toxic masculinity and these like expectations that are thrust upon you as a man and how you should be and how you should act and how you should feel and what you should say around other men and what you should say around women. Or, and we think that that's all complete bullshit. And I think that, like, over-identifying with that kind of expectation leads to people being unhappy, because we're all individuals, like, and it's about being happy with what you are and also channeling any kind of like masculine energy. This is terrible, really, doing this again. Owen puts up inverted commas. Masculine energy, like, and trying to like use it as a force for positivity, but also as a force for release and to get any of that out. I think it's important for men to have those channels. Bless them, bless us. Like, you know, it's, I think one of the biggest like mistakes of the whole conversation around masculinity was like the demonization of masculine tropes, and that's why we end up with horrible bastards like the Andrew Tate and Jordan Peterson kind of schooling young men now in kind of the way that they should be. But like, I think it's not about demonizing what we are as men, it's about kind of celebrate it. I really don't want to sound like Jordan Peterson when I'm saying that.
I make sure you won't sound like Jordan Peterson. Don't worry.
No, but you know, it's also that it's not just men. Like, it's not like, it's like people seek that out. Like, people, part of the human experience is passion and vehemence. And I think that like the vehemence is a word I've started to use recently to describe it, because I used to call it passion, but like, I think sometimes that was a little bit disingenuous to the kind of the aggressive, angry component of what we have. And it kind of like either sidetracked it, which is unfair to ignore it because it's there, but also kind of like was a means of glistening it up and giving it a softer edge and making it more palatable to people. Whereas I think like vehemence is more what it is. Like, it's about like belief and honesty and sharing and like allowing yourself these characterizations and being there to kind of like, I don't know, allow for it so that it doesn't have to be apologized for, but can just be recognized for what it is. And I don't know what the word is, like a form of acceptance around it, I guess, in a healthy way that allows other people to have their boundaries and to have their safety and them just to be respected. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, one of the words that comes to mind when I like think of idols and listen to you guys is catharsis. Like,
yeah,
definitely a healthy way of approaching these big feelings, whether that be anger or sadness or love or joy as an act of resistance or whatever, It's a cathartic way to be able to express that, both as a listener and I assume for you guys creating it.
It's huge for us creating it. That's like first and foremost for us. We're just really happy that every night we perform to a room of people that seem to think the same way. So it's great. It's a beautiful thing to not feel alone. And I think that's a big, huge part of it is the shared experience that is garnered from it. That kind of like loss of inhibition that comes from it. And I think it's also, you know, it's a really important aspect of the band that we are five such different people as well. And I think that is shown on stage, and that allows people to feel okay to be that, and that is unifying in itself.
It's unifying is such a good word for it.
For
the people who, you've played in New Zealand a few times but mostly sold out, for the people who are going to get to see you for the first time in January, what can they expect?
It's all just about this kind of like becoming uninhibited. I always come back to this, that it's like we lose ourselves in the show immediately. And we try and kind of engender that in our audience. And it's this raucous, big bubble of energy that is cathartic, hugely cathartic. That you use the word catharsis, and I completely agree with you. Is huge. And it's exhilarating, and it's happy, and it's sad. And, a lot. Joe deals a lot with his pitfalls, it's warts and all. There's a lot of ugliness, and there's beauty in that ugliness as well. And it always feels like it's about to fall apart. I think that's one of the best things about our show, is that like it always feels like it's not going to work, and it does. This is a terrible way of selling your show.
No, come and see that it. Makes it me want to go even more. I'm like, there's a train crash.
it's edgy, but it never does. It never becomes a train crash. And it's cool. And like now it's like, especially with the songs on Tank, where we've got these more like self-reflective, more kind of like beautiful, nuanced, contemplative moments, or more kind of synth-laden, kind of like electronic kind of elements to it. It's really got this like beautiful arc to it now. And it is a real journey and bullshit. But like it's just cool. It's fun. It's fun as well, primarily. That's what it is.
Primarily fun. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like we deal with all these heavy subjects, and we do like to intellectualize and think about that stuff, because our music is considered, our lyrics are considered, our identity and our kind of what we're pushing out there as a band is hugely considered. It's entirely intentional, but it is also fun. Like, and I think that's like number one priority on our list, is that it is.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. And thank you so much for chatting.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And it was for a last minute interview. Great questions.
So. Oh, thank you. Lovely to talk, and have a good rest of your night.
Cheers. Thank you.